listening to the Key of Awesome Music podcast, brought to you by me, Jim Gavin. Key of Awesome Music was established back in 2011 as a way to further protect and promote the music that I wrote as a solo artist, as well as some of the other bands that I was in the past. And that has since grown into representing 10 artists' music that have either gone under the radar or have not been noticed for one reason or another, and are just awesome, awesome musicians and storytellers through song. In the late winter and early spring of 2018, Key of Awesome Music was given the opportunity to further expand its horizons as well as further impact people in a positive way using music as a tool to do so. From one-on-one sessions on guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, percussion, and vocals, to group sessions at developmental and physically disabled day programs, to interactive live performances at nursing homes and assisted living facilities, we are fortunate and blessed to be able to provide a mission-based music service for people in a time of need. Right now, we are reaching out to drug and alcohol counseling centers, prisons, at-risk youth, homeless shelters, soup kitchens, mental health organizations, and anywhere else we can think of where coming in to do a music program would best serve and support the individuals that you serve and support. If this sounds like something you are interested in, please feel free to reach out to us at jim.gavin@gmail.com. That is jim.gaven@gmail.com. Also, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/keyofawesomemusic. That's facebook.com/keyofawesomemusic. We also have a Patreon page set up so that we can go into some of these places and not affect their bottom line. If you are looking to donate to a worthy cause or something a little different outside of the box and you're having trouble doing so, this would be a great opportunity to give back to the community and using music as a means to help people. Feel free to go to www.patreon.com/JimGavin. That's patreon.com/JimGaven. Thank you for all of the love and support. Trust me, it is greatly appreciated. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is Jim Gavin from the Key of Awesome Music, improving the quality of life through music.
Desire. best of me was the air I breathed for way too long. Something had to give, it was the life I lived, and now it's gone, oh gone.
Chapter 3, Famous Lay Peacemakers. We cannot neglect those who work tirelessly for peace outside of the religious world. With that, it is most appropriate to include several famous people in this group of lay peacemakers. There are plenty others not mentioned in the following pages for the sake of brevity, as well as having a less global impact than the ones highlighted in this chapter. What do all these people have in common? They all believed in nonviolent means of achieving world peace and led massive movements across countries to adopt this way of thinking, and either loved or appreciated music in quite serious manner. At the end of the chapter, you'll find a list of everyone in history who has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize as well. It's worth taking a look at back into the people and organizations who have made it their mission to improve the world through peaceful means. Remarkable people, simply remarkable. Mahatma Gandhi. We all know him as Mahatma, a seeker after truth, an humble explorer of the science of nonviolence, as a saint, a barista, a freedom fighter, and of course, a divine soul having larger concerns for society, country, and indeed humanity. With globalization penetrating every sphere of life, Gandhi has become a global icon. Gandhi wrote a lot on the specific issues and problems he encountered. There is no department of life which he left untouched. He was a thinker, synthesizer, creative genius, and karma yogi in the true sense of the terms. Very few people know that Gandhi was extremely fond of music and arts. Most of us have been all along under the impression that he was against all arts such as music. In fact, he was a great lover of music, though his philosophy of music was different. In his own words, music does not proceed from the throat alone. There was music of mind, of the senses, and of the heart. Someone once asked the Mahatmaji, don't you have any liking for music? Gandhi replied, if there was no music and no laughter in me, I would have died of this crushing burden of my work. In his letter to Rabindranath Tagore, written on December 22, 1945, he had suggested to the latter to give both Hindustani music as well as Western music their due place at Shantiniketan, along with Bengali music. It shows that he had a good knowledge of different streams of music. His idea of music was also connected to spirituality. In this context, he wrote a letter to Private Narayan Murishwar Kari, the music teacher in the Satyagraha Ashram, Sabarmati, on October 7th, 1924. I've gradually come to look at upon music as a means of spiritual development. Please try our best to see all of us sing our bhajans with a correct understanding of the sense. I cannot describe the joy I feel. Music is a constructive activity which uplifts the soul. He always tried to revive this art and patronize the school of music. At Ahmedabad, in his address to Young India on April 15, 1926, he had stated, if we use a broad interpretation on music, for example, if we mean it by union, concord, mutual help, it may be said that in no department of life we can dispense with it. So if many more people send their children to the music class, it will be part of their contribution to national uplift. According to Mahatma, in true music, there is no place for communal differences and hostility. Music was a great example of national integration because only there we see Hindu and Muslim musicians sitting together and partaking in music concerts. He often said, we shall consider music in a narrow sense to mean the ability to sing and play an instrument well, but in its wider sense, true music is created only when life is attuned to a single tune and a single time beat. Music is born only where the strings of the heart are not out of tune. Mahatma Gandhi defined music as a sacred and powerful ancient art which has capacity to change and control emotions. He also said, music means rhythm, order. Its effect is electrical and soothing, but unfortunately we have neglected music. It has never become nationalized in the modern sense. If I had any influence with volunteers by scouts and Seva Semiti organizations, I would have compulsory a proper singing company of national songs. And to that end, I should have great musicians attending every congress or conference and teaching mass music. In one of his conversations with Youth India, he has said, "A whole life should be sweet and musical like a song." It goes without saying that life cannot be made like that without the practice of virtues such as truth, honesty, etc. To make life musical means to make it one with God, to merge it in Him. He who has not rid himself of raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes, who has not tasted the joy of service, cannot have any understanding of celestial music. The study of music which does not take account of this deeper aspect of this divine art has no value for me. Gandhi lived and died for peace and harmony in the world. The greatest book that Mahatma wrote was about his own life, that he could say boldly, "My life is my message." His whole life was full of rhythm and harmony. He had a habit of starting and ending his day with some melodious bahans for the symphonies he has left behind. That despite terrible violence, the earth is still a musical place to live. In the present era, when the Gandhian way appears to be the only way for human survival and development, this search of Gandhi's philosophy of art and music for the betterment of human life will be relevant for both the scholars of music and Gandhian studies. We could take much from this message of peace and harmony as it pertains to youth, society, and music. It's no surprise to me that music was an integral part of Gandhi's life and how he saw and heard the world. Martin Luther King Jr. While Oslo, Norway, prepared for Dr. Martin Luther King's December 1964 visit to accept the Nobel Peace Prize, Berlin received him during their cultural jazz festival on September 13, 1964. This is where he drew a parallel between the two Berlins, East and West, and the two Americas in his only public words on the topic of jazz. Beginning with the blues, the great orator lays out the power of music. God has wrought many things out of oppression. He has endowed his creatures, with the capacity to create. From this capacity has flowed the sweet songs of sorrow and joy that have allowed man to cope with his environment in many different situations. Jazz speaks for life. The blues tell the story of life's difficulties. And if you think for a moment, you will realize that they take the hardest realities of life and put them into music only to come out with some new hope. This is triumphant music, the only true American art form. Modern jazz has continued in this tradition, singing the songs of a more complicated urban existence. When life itself offers no order and meaning, the musician creates an order and meaning from the sounds of the earth which flow through his instrument. It is no wonder that so much of the search for identity among American Negroes was championed by jazz musicians. Long before the modern essayists and scholars wrote of racial identity as a problem for a multiracial world, musicians were returning to their roots to affirm that which was stirring within their souls. Dr. King closes the address with the most stirring description of why music matters that you'll ever read. "Much of the power of our freedom movement in the United States has come from this music. It has strengthened us with its sweet rhythms when courage began to fail. It has calmed us with its rich harmonies when spirits were down. And now jazz is exported to the world. For in the particular struggle of the Negro in America, there is something akin to the universal struggle of modern man. Everybody has the blues. Everybody longs for meaning. Everybody needs to love and be loved. Everybody needs to clap their hands and be happy. Everybody longs for faith. In music, especially this broad category called jazz, there is a stepping stone towards all of these." When we think of music and civil rights, our minds often turn to those specific songs labeled protest music. But King pointed out that music itself is a protest. We sing or listen to protest our longing, sadness, and loneliness. With this, Martin Luther King Jr. is another example of how we can use music, singing in particular, to achieve an inner and outer peace. Additionally, I would be remiss to not at least mention these next five people who have been on the global stage vying for world peace. 14th Dalai Lama, Pope John Paul II, St. Mother Teresa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and Malala Yousafzai. The current Dalai Lama, 14th, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989, has a couple of recordings on the internet of him chanting the Maha Mirtya Yanja mantra. This happens to be a sacred chant for healing and uses this as a means to achieve inner peace, all the while pouring out this peace onto the world. John Paul II was a force to be reckoned with during his time as Pope throughout the 20th century, a force for good, that is. With famous sayings as, "Do not abandon yourselves to despair, we are the Easter people and hallelujah is our song," to "Do not be afraid to take a chance on peace, to teach peace, to live peace, peace will be the last word of history," his quotes are timeless and true. We should be so grateful to have someone like John Paul out there promoting peace and music like this. Although St. Mother Teresa was never known for anything musical, she lived an exemplary life dedicated to serving the poor and destitute. She's been quoted as saying, "Life's a song, sing it. And peace begins with a smile." Could she be onto something with these simple yet profound quotes about singing and peace? I think so. In case you weren't aware, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979, too. Like St. Mother Teresa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu was not known for his musical prowess. However, his life is another great example of striving for togetherness, community, and peace. He is quoted as saying, "We were made to enjoy music, to enjoy beautiful sunsets, to enjoy looking at the billows of the sea, and to be thrilled with a rose that is bedecked with dew." Human beings are actually created with the transcendent, for the transcendent, for the sublime, for the beautiful, for the truthful, and all of us are given the task of trying to make this world a little more hospitable to these beautiful things. This quote speaks volumes as it pertains to salvaging what's left of all the good things on this earth and using them to improve the human race. He also once said, "If you want peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies." I would go a step further and say not only talking to your enemies, but singing to and with them. Malala Yousafzai is a wonderful example of a lay person who has inspired many in her quest to attain peace in a part of the world where many don't feel is possible. Her efforts so far earned her the honor of being the youngest person to ever receive the Nobel Peace Prize, which she did at the age of 17 in 2014. Go Malala, go. Nobel Peace Prize winners list. As promised, here is the list of all the Nobel Peace Prize winners for everyone in history from 1901 to 2018. Some years there are multiple recipients shared by individuals or organizations. Some years there are no recipients due to war. This information with more detail can be found at almaz.com/Nobel/peace. That is almaz.com/Nobel, which is NOBEL/peace. Or on en.wikipedia.org/WIKI/list_of_Nobel_peace_prize_laureates. Laureates is spelt Laureates. 1901, Jean-Henri Dunant and Frederic Passy. 1902, Elie Tuchman and Charles Albert Gobat. 1903, Sir William Randall Crimmer. 1904, Institut de Droit International, or the Institute of International Law. 1905, Baroness Bertha Sophie Felicita von Suttner, Countess Kinsky von Schinnig und Detau. 1906, Theodore Roosevelt. 1907, Ernesto Teodoro Mineta and Louis Renault. 1908, Klaus Pontus Arnoldson and Frederick Bayer. 1909, Auguste Marie Francois Bernard. Paul Henri Benjamin Baliot Eternel de Constant, Baron de Constant de Rebec. 1910, Bureau International Permanent de la Paix, which is Permanent International Peace Bureau. 1911, Tobias Michael Carrel Asser and Alfred Hermann Fried. 1912, Elihu Root. 1913, Henry LaFontaine. 1914 and 1916, money allocated to the special fund of this prize. 1917, Comité International de la Croix Rouge, International Committee of the Red Cross. 1918, money allocated to the special fund of this prize. 1919, Thomas Woodrow Wilson. 1920, Leon Victor Auguste Bourgeois. 1921, Karl Hammer Branting and Christian Louis Lange. 1922, Fridtjof Nansen. 1923, 1924, money allocated to the special fund of this prize. 1925, Sir Austin Chamberlain and Charles Gates Dawes. 1926, Aristide Briand and Gustave Stresemann. 1927, Ferdinand Buisson and Ludwig Quidit. 1928, money allocated to the special fund of this prize. 1929, Frank Billings Kellogg. 1930, Lars Olaf Nathan Jonathan Soderblom. 1931, Jane Addams and Nichols Murray Butler. 1932, money allocated to the special fund of this prize. 1933, Sir Norman Angell, Ralph Lane. 1934, Arthur Henderson. 1935, Carl von Ossitzky. 1936, Carlos Saavedra Lamas. 1937, Cecil of Chelwood Viscount, Lord Edgar Algernon, Robert Gascoigne Cecil. 1938, Office International Nansen pour les Réfugiés, Nansen International Office for Refugees. 1939 to 1943, money allocated to the special fund of this prize. 1944, Comité International de la Croix Rouge, or the International Committee of the Red Cross. 1945, Cordell Hull. 1946, Emily Green Balsh and John Raleigh Mott. 1947, the Friends Service Council of the Quakers and the American Friends Service Committee, the Quakers. 1948, money allocated to the main fund, one-third, and special fund, two-thirds of this prize. 1949, Lord John Boyd Orr of Breschen. 1950, Ralph Bunch. 1951, Leon Juho. 1952, Albert Schweitzer. 1953, George Catlett Marshall. 1954, Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. 1955, 1956, money allocated to the main fund, one-third, and special fund, two-thirds of this prize. 1957, Lester Bowles Pearson. 1958, Georges Henri Pierre. 1959, Philip J. Noel Baker. 1960, Albert John Lutili. 1961, Dag Halmar Agnekar Hammarskjöld. 1962, Linus Carl Pauling. 1963, Committee International de la Croix Rouge, or the International Committee of the Red Cross, and Ligue de Société de la Croix Rouge, League of Red Cross Societies. 1964, Martin Luther King Jr. 1965, United Nations Children's Funds, or UNICEF. 1966 to 1967, money allocated to the main fund, one-third, and special fund, two-thirds of this prize. 1968, René Cassin. 1969, International Labor Organization. 1970, Norman Borlaug. 1971, William Brandt. 1972, the prize money for 1972 was allocated to the main fund. 1973, Henry Kissinger and Le Duc Tho. 1974, Sean McBride and Isaku Satu. 1975, Andre Dimitriev Sakharov. 1976, Betty Williams and Mariette Corrigan. 1977, Amnesty International. 1978, Mohammed Anwar al-Sadat and Manashem Begin. 1979, Mother Teresa. 1980, Adolfo Perez Esquivel. 1981, Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. 1982, Alva Myrdal and Alfonso Garcia Robles. 1983, Lech Wasow. 1984, Desmond Tutu. 1985, International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War. 1986, Elise Weissel. 1987, Oscar Arias Sanchez. 1988, United Nations Peacekeeping Forces. 1989, the 14th Dalai Lama or Tenzin Gyatso. 1990, Miguel Sergeyevich Gorbachev. 1991, Aung San Suu Kyi. 1992, Rigoberta Menchú Tum. 1993, Nelson Mandela and Friedrich William de Klerk. 1994, Yasser Arafat, Shimon Peres, and Yitzhak Rabin. 1995, Joseph Rotblat and the Pugwash Conferences in Science and World Affairs. 1996, Carlos Felipe Ximenez Bello and Jose Ramos Horta. 1997, International Campaign to Ban Landmines and Jody Williams. 1998, John Hume and David Trimble. 1999, Doctors Without Borders or Medicine Sans Frontières. 2000, Kim Dae-jung. 2001, United Nations and Kofi Annan. 2002, Jimmy Carter Jr. 2003, Shirin Ebadi. 2004, Wangari Maathai. 2005, International Atomic Energy Agency and Mohamed El-Baradei. 2006, Mohamed Yunus and Grameen Bank. 2007, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, and Albert Arnold or Al Gore Jr. 2008, Marty Atassari. 2009, Barack Obama. 2010, Li Xiaobo. 2011, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Lema Gboyi, and Tawakul Karman. 2012, the EU or the European Union. 2013, Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. 2014, Khalees Satyarthi and Malala Yousafzai. 2015, National Dialogue Quartet. 2016, Juan Manuel Santos. 2017, International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN. In 2018, Denis Mukwege and Nadia Murad. So, what can you take from this chapter of famous lay peacemakers? If you make it a habit to dedicate time and energy into making peace with everyone in your network, family, friends, colleagues, the trickle-down effects can be astounding in the positive direction.
You are my night when you are cold. I'll grab
grab some blankets from my bed, wrap them around your chest, and I'll pull you close. We'll flip some channels to find out there's nothing all right now to ease your mind. Sit back, relax, there is no rush, no need to speed things up. All we have is time. Don't think about the future, forget about the past. Time to figure out a way to make this moment last. To make this moment last. To make this moment sunsets, I won't let you forget that I need you. Spring comes and spring goes, forever you will know that I love you. Sunrises, sunsets, I won't let you forget that I need you. Spring comes and spring goes, forever you will know that I love you.